Welcome back to Aware. Hi, this is Lisa Garr, and as usual on the Aware Show, bringing you some fun, mind-bending guests and techniques. We've been talking about the ability to channel another realm, which is what we were just talking about. Now we're going to talk about the ability to channel yourself, your actual voice. And what this means is you basically can uncover your unconscious secrets kind of by hearing what you're really saying by playing it backwards. And my next guest, John Kelly, has done about 400 radio shows on this particular topic. If you haven't heard of him before, he's really amazed audiences all around the world with these audio clips that have very insightful commentary that involves playing the audio clips backwards in order to find the hidden messages in what is being said. He is an internationally recognized authority on messages hidden in the speech. Welcome to the show, John Kelly.
Hey, great to be here. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So this is really very interesting stuff. How are you received mostly when you take a speech by Barbara Bush and you play it backwards and it says something different? What is it that the first reactions usually are amongst people?
Well, I think that shock is certainly one of the reactions that people have. This is so new to most people.
We're going to experience shock.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm preparing people.
Because it challenges some of our most basic assumptions that were formed over years of experience from listening to people talk. We have this fundamental assumption about the way that speech works. It's almost as if somebody were to levitate before your very eyes when we have a common assumption about what gravity is.
Mm-hmm.
So these messages defy our most common assumptions about the nature of speech and human communications. And so it's very shocking in general. But then, of course, people have become very curious because it's something that they've never heard before, and they're recognizing the messages, and it's very inspiring to some people, and they want to work on their own issues, hearing their own voices talk backwards.
How on earth did you get into this? Did you listen to Strawberry Fields a few too many times and play it backwards and go, wow, this is cool?
Yeah. I wish it was that easy, actually.
Right.
I was a big fan of Art Bell's late-night broadcast,
mm-hmm.
and he had an Australian fellow on that show who was quite popular named David Oates, and I ended up training with David Oates after hearing his radio broadcast because as someone who had a very long background in music, I had over 20 years of ear training, I recognized the authenticity of the audio material that Oates was playing. Hearing those backwards messages really rung a bell with me, and so I was inspired and eventually went to Southern California to study with him, and I worked under him for some time, and then I left his organization to have my own private practice, and since then I've worked with clients all across North America and done, as you said, quite a few radio interviews exploring the headline news and the messages hidden backwards in the newsmakers.
So what type of technology do you use to play these backwards? I mean, is it you record these things on reel-to-reel?
Really, we're just using desktop PCs and off-the-shelf audio editing software. It's not overly complex for someone who's, an average computer user who's used to recording and working with sound on a computer system.
Uh-huh.
The editing software is common in any production studio. And I've been using it for some time for studying music, for slowing down recordings to make transcriptions of musical performances, and then I graduated over to studying speech. And so, again, it's just desktop PC technology that's accessible to most people. Really, then, beyond that, it's a question of human skill, listening skills, and attention and observation, powers of observation. It takes time to attune the ears to begin to make the independent observations that can be verified as intelligible by others, and not only that, but the information in the messages can be verified as factual.
Well, what I really like about your work is that you can use this for healing as kind of therapeutic work to experience what you did this with me last night. As you had me just simply talk about, there's a newborn baby in our family, and
yeah.
And you just said, how do you feel about the newborn, and what was your experience with this child like? And I haven't heard yet what, after we got off the phone, John took a sample of what I was talking about, and we're going to play it at the end of the show, just a little bit later on in the show, to find out how I really feel about babies. I mean, as far as I know, I really am excited about having one someday, but this is pretty interesting stuff. So give us a little sampling of what you're talking about so people can have a reference here.
Sure. Usually I'm covering headline stories, and one of the big stories, of course, in the news that I've been following for the past several weeks is the Enron scandal. And the testimony's been given in front of the Senate. I waited a long time for Ken Lay to come forward, and I was quite concerned that because he was taking the fifth that I would never get any speech out of him. But
right.
In fact, he actually gave an opening statement. even though it's only a minute and a half long, I got some wonderful audio from that opening statement. So let's listen together. I will play about 8 seconds of Ken Lay's speech first. This is just from his opening statement of this morning.
I have, however, been instructed by my counsel not to testify based on my Fifth Amendment constitutional rights.
Well, this is very interesting because when I play that in reverse, I take a segment of that audio, play it backwards, and I'll play it at three different speeds. I hear him say the words, sucked them in, the thief.
Sucked them in, the thief. Sucked them in, the thief. Sucked them in, the thief.
Interesting. Now, that was recorded this morning.
That's from this morning.
Okay. So that was kind of a hard one to hear. Sucked them in, the thief?
Sucked them in, the thief.
Okay, sucked them in the thief.
Yeah, that's my interpretation, and, mm-hmm. and of course, you know, everyone has their own unique powers of observation. I'm just sharing my story, you know, the material that I'm hearing as we go along. There's lots of clips, you know, for new listeners, if they sound distorted. You know, people don't speak perfectly. I myself, of course, don't speak perfectly like a speech robot, of course. So we distort speech as we go along, but I'm sharing my observation there. Maybe some of the audience is able to recognize that one. I have lots of clips to share today, and I think most of them were pretty intelligible. So if you'd like to hear some more, we could proceed from there.
Yeah, let's get another idea of what a sample is.
Okay, let's go to the CEO of Enron, Joseph Berardino. This is his testimony in front of Congress.
And we're considering every possible avenue to make sure those judgments are better and the backbone and the skepticism is there to ask the hard questions.
All right. And so he's talking there about backbone. The auditors must have a lot of backbone in order to stand up under difficult circumstances with their clients. But I don't think that's what happened with Enron. I think that Anderson's auditors didn't have the backbone. And I think it goes right to the top. I can hear him say backwards, must not judge others.
Must not judge others. Must not judge others. Must not judge others.
That is a little clearer. It's kind of hard to hear, though, because of the, you know, it takes, I guess, a trained ear, kind of like yours. There was one that you had played for me that Barbara Bush had given. She had given a speech about, what was it she was talking about? Do you happen to have that one?
Well, Barbara Bush was speaking after the 9/11 attacks, and she was commenting on her thoughts and feelings for the families of the victims of the attacks. This is a very interesting clip, as you said. Let's play that. We can hear the First Lady's speech right here.
And I just want everyone to know how we're thinking about them and the love we send out around our country.
And there's a message hidden back in your speech when I play it back. This has been tested on national audiences. Most people can hear this message quite clearly. In fact, I won't say anything. I'll let you hear it again. Barbara Bush speaking backwards.
I miss you. I miss you. I miss you.
It's pretty clear. I mean, you can hear she's saying, I miss you. Is there? How do we know that this is not manipulated, that this is not, you know, enhanced in any way?
Well, in fact, it is manipulated because the recordings, the original recordings are now reversed. And not only are they reversed, but they're slowed down. So there's two editing functions that have been applied to the audio. Beyond that, however, there is no additional manipulation. Now, I could demonstrate that for you by showing you where the audio comes from. Let's take this clip, turn it around backwards, and show where the speech was formed.
We send out,
which is here in the speech.
And the love we send out around.
Right there. If I take that whole segment and flip it backwards, you can hear embedded within that distortion of backward speech, you can hear the message, I miss you.
I miss you well, wouldn't I?
There it is right there.
So what are you insinuating? That when she is saying this stuff, she is in her subconscious really coming out with an I miss you?
Yeah, unconsciously she's transmitting a message. It's involuntary. And it implies sincerity of feeling, as if she empathizes with the suffering of those families of people who lost their lives.
I see. So that is, you know, that's kind of a positive phrase that you're coming up with, and that would make sense. I mean, it would make sense that she would empathize with these people.
Sure.
But so how does it work? I mean, what is the purpose of these messages? How do you decipher what they mean?
Well, I guess those two important questions can both be addressed. The purpose of these messages. Well, it's interesting. Perhaps, you know, we consider, for example, in musical composition, there's the melody voice, and then there's second voice, third voice, different harmonies that come along as well. So in a choral expression of multiple voices, musical expression is multi-layered. There are many different expressions, and each can play its own theme. The second and third voices can express themes that are as valid as the melodic theme. However, they're supportive themes or in parallel or in harmony. And these secondary themes that are in our speech certainly are that. They can stand on their own. They have unique interpretations. But they're part of the way we express ourselves. In other words, we express ourselves in more than one dimension, even in terms of sound. Our voices express complex signals that contain additional transmissions. When we speak, the transmission of speech is continuous with the outflowing breath. However, the backwards message is the transmission is periodic. It's embedded within our speech. The signals sent out only periodically. We have to study and monitor the entire speech, the outgoing breath, just to hear that little periodic signal. Now, in terms of, I think, what's the other part of your question? Where do the messages come from? Is that right?
What's the purpose of them?
The purpose of the messages. Well, again, I think the purpose is to fulfill our need to express. I think, you know, the mind, when scientists study the brain, for example, I mean, I was reading a recent report in the last 8 months that people believe now in science that even the stomach has a brain. There's enough nerve fibers in the stomach that it can be considered to have its own independent brain. And certainly spiritualists would say that the heart has a mind of its own.
Mm.
So the ego, the heart, all the different dimensions of mind seem to want to express. And these expressions can be registered by the study of backward speech. All of the Freudian themes, the Jungian themes, the transpersonal themes can be found backwards in our speech. Archetype, mystical materials, spiritual insights, as well, of course, as emotional intelligence, business intelligence. All these dimensions of our being want to express, and so this extra dimension, if we adopt a new perspective, if we take a different stance, if we want to look at the Grand Canyon from two different perspectives, we'll see two different dimensions of the same phenomenon.
Well, as you said, the emotional intelligence, you don't just, you know, do this with headliners and people who are speaking in the media. You do this with people on an individual basis.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Now, how do you work with individuals on this?
Well, what we do is we take recordings of people, and we maybe take a five-minute interview and work with that audio, playing it backwards, and then deduce intelligible messages in that recording, and then play them back for the listener and ask them, you know, can you identify this? Is this message intelligible to you? Just like we're doing today.
Mm-hmm.
And beyond that, we have a discussion about interpretation. Of course, it's the speaker's life story that's being expressed. They are in the best position to understand what the messages mean. And I work with them and support them to open their awareness, to expand their sense of feeling, their insight, to gain perceptions and understanding of what's being communicated, and the potential for changing, you know, perhaps if a conflict emerges, something deep within them that's unresolved, emerges as an image within their speech, we can spend time focusing on helping them to resolve, identifying the conflict and resolving it. It's really kind of powerful, the kinds of messages that come up. And before we start playing clips from client sessions, I'll give you a sense of the intensity of the kind of material that can be revealed. Bonnie Lee Bakley, of course, is a major news story from Los Angeles. Robert Blake's deceased wife.
Uh-huh. Your voice is fading in and out.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. There you go. Stay with me.
And Bonnie Lee Bakley used to record her telephone calls. She was someone who was involved in a number of different business opportunities. I think she thought she'd made a lot of enemies at one point. And Blake, of course, was carrying a gun ostensibly to protect her. This is the same gun he left behind in the restaurant when he left the cab of the truck to go and retrieve it. He came back. He had died of a gunshot wound. Well, she used to record her telephone calls. This is one of those calls. Let's listen together.
But the only thing is, see, I'm only going to be here until, like, February, and then I'm leaving, you know, so I hope it's
all. I think you'll come before then.
You better, yeah.
And when I play that backwards, again, this is quite an intense clip. Most people have a very strong physiological and psychological reaction to this particular piece of audio. I hear her say the words, I know he'll murder me.
I know he'll murder me. I know he'll murder me.
Is that clear? Hello?
There you are. On my
was that piece of audio very clear?
That was strong. That was very strong. It's easier to hear. It was much easier to hear, but it's hard to see if you were say you take this particular sound clip and you put it on your computer and play something like that on your computer, and then you can, if you have to have this particular sound equipment, can somebody take, say, you have these audio clips on your website, on your computer, I mean, on yourinnervoice.com?
At yourinnervoice.com, that's right, there's lots of clips there.
And you can take those clips from there, and you can download them on your computer, and you can play them forwards and backwards, and you can make this decision for yourself, right?
Anybody in the world who's got an internet connection and a sound card on their computer can download the audio from my site and test the validity of my claim that these messages were derived solely from the forward clips that are included with the downloadable audio. Absolutely testable, repeatable, objective phenomena.
Mm-hmm. And so what is the good that has come with this? You know, when you've had your clients and so forth, have there been people that have had breakthroughs to discover what it is they're saying? Are they afraid of the messages? Do they get to hear them and decipher them for themselves?
Oh, yeah, a lot of good has come of this, for sure. I've been in full-time practice for the last 4 years, and many people have had a number of breakthroughs. You know, really the philosophy of healing that I've come to realize through this procedure is that when we authentically connect with the pain, that's the issue that's really bothering us, we connect with it in a very authentic way, and our senses are awakened to that pain. It doesn't take very long for the heart to open and for compassion to begin to take place, compassion for ourselves, a process of self-forgiveness that assists us in releasing our attachment to the painful issues in our lives. And I have many, many testimonies from clients who enjoyed that kind of an experience by going through this journey with me. When we make the recording and we derive the clips, the clients get to sit with me and make their own observations. I play the audio for them. I let them make decisions. Is this intelligible? Does this message really say that? And if it does, and you recognize that's your own voice, what does it mean to you? I have some wonderful stories to share with you and your audience today about this kind of process. For example, one of the clients that came to me was an actor who was walking her younger brother across the street as children. She was 5 and he was 3. This young fellow was quite full of beans, and he ended up breaking free and running. Now, he was struck by a car, and his life ended in a tragic moment. And this tragic moment remained with my client for about 35 years or so in her mind. She held on to it. You know, it was a very painful memory for her. She relayed that to me. Here you listen to us in a session, just working together on this issue.
How did that impact on your image of yourself as someone who was responsible, who could take care of other people? You could be trusted with responsibility.
Well, I don't know how to verbalize it.
And so she's having a very difficult time expressing herself. She's not coherent. It's an emotional moment for her. Having difficulty tapping into what it is that she's experiencing at that moment. She can't express it, and yet she does vocalize. And here's another clip that people have a very strong physiological and psychological response to. You know, I'd like to say that if you have difficulty in accepting intellectually this claim or this hypothesis of backward speech, it's undeniable that people have these measurable responses to this audio. That's unlike any normal audio playback. People have a strong measurable response. Now, when I play this back, the words that I heard and reported to her were, "Better hang on to him." Were you able to identify that?
Barely. Once you said it first, it would be better if I could have heard it myself first without hearing what you'd said, because it's kind of, maybe it's hard to hear over the air.
Oh.
But did she, what was her experience after that? What did she discover?
Well, it was very powerful for her because, as she told me even 6 months later when I interviewed her, and that interview is on my website. You can hear it as part of a 2-hour presentation that's featured on my website that you can listen to for free. Very powerful for her because she was able to connect with some very intense emotional resources that had been locked up over guilt and shame, how she suffered in her attachment to the memory of the passing of her brother. You see, the message is two-sided. Hanging on to him implies holding hands as they held hands while they crossed the street. But it also implies attachment to the memory of that very painful issue.
Do you have to be...
By witnessing herself in attachment, she was able to let go.
Yeah, I was wondering, how did you hear that? You have to be pretty creative to be able to hear what it is that they're saying on the backwards playing of this.
Well, you know, even cryptanalysts and intelligence agencies, you know, some of the job skills are, they say you need imagination, open-mindedness, patience. All these kinds of virtues come into play for the listener who's going to be able to make these kinds of discoveries. The nice part, of course, is when the messages, the information pans out as with real-world feedback. I mean, Bonnie Lee Bakley was murdered.
Yeah, after the fact, it's easy to be able to make more sense of that. Let's see if we can do it from the conversation you and I had last night.
Sure.
About a new baby in the family.
Yeah, this was really interesting stuff. So you and I
now, don't tell me what it is that you heard. Let me try and hear it. Let me try and decipher it for myself.
Great. Yeah, we'll let you be the observer here. I love that. Just pulling up your clips here. And, yeah, this is a really great one right here. Let's listen together.
So it just made me feel a really deep connection to the child.
I said it
Now, there was a lot of line noise on that, and I had to filter it down, so I hope that the audio quality is not too, disintegrated. Were you able to hear yourself speaking there?
I said it makes me feel very neat being able to connect to the child.
Okay, and so...
I said something like that.
Yeah, that's the words that you were using. And so
okay.
Now there's a message there, and I'll just play audio for you and let you be the observer. Here we go. Did you get anything out of that?
My grandmother speaking through me. No. No, I didn't. Did you, Steve, in the booth? Did anybody in the booth hear? Try it one more time.
Sure, let's do that again. Okay, everyone, here we go. Anything?
You give it to me, John. I couldn't hear it.
Well, I can't make anyone hear anything, but I'll say what I heard. And these words were, "What a bloody panic! He's reversing message."
What a okay.
Anything there?
What a bloody panic! He's reversing messages.
That's what I heard.
That is a great way to end the show, John.
So, what do you think? Is this all just the power of suggestion, or is there something real to this?
I'm bloody panicked. That's what I have to say. Your reversing of messages is very. It's something that it seems like it's takes a trained ear to hear. I personally can't hear it. I'm not quite sure if my listeners could hear it, but it is definitely an interesting thing to do. And that always what we do on the Aware Show is we bring up information and ask people to make up their own minds. And that's exactly what I'm asking my listeners to do. So let me have you make up your own mind. You can listen to John's audio clips on his website, which is yourinnervoice.com, and check it out. It's a really great website, and you can figure out how you feel about all this. This John Kelly was my guest, and thank you very much for joining me this afternoon.
Thanks for having me.
All right. And there's also a phone number you can reach him at. It's 888-453-0751, or go to yourinnervoice.com. And I must say, while I'm continuing to bring you the clearest information possible, in the end, I always encourage you to listen to your very own truth. Until tomorrow, I invite you to stay aware.